Good morning. Is everybody getting an outline? This is one of maybe quite a few outlines you'll get in the next few days. It seems to be a favorite thing of people at these conferences to make up outlines. And you have a few choices of what you can do with them. They can go in the big round basket at your house when you get home. But I just want to encourage you to do something with these outlines. Put them in your folder if you have it, or into, I think they're meant to go into your folder while you're here, but hang on to them. And when you get home, if you get one of those folders, manila folders or something, stick them in it and hang on to them. And then if you come back next year and you get some more, stick those in it too. And after a few years of getting these outlines, you're going to have just an incredible amount of teaching that you can refer back to. And you can say, now, didn't I learn something about this, whatever it is, at a conference? You can look back through and look it up. So I'd encourage you to do that. Hang on to them. Do you guys remember the great artwork that we had up here last night? Isn't that good? Anybody remember that the one that was in this corner right here? What are we going to talk about today? Sitting. That's right. We're going to talk about sitting. And we all like to sit around. It's kind of fun to sit around and do nothing. But this sitting that we're going to talk about is a very, very important part of our Christian life. And just like standing and walking are. Well, we got to start with sitting. And there's two parts of sitting we're going to talk about today. The first one is we're going to talk about whose feet you're sitting at. Because everybody in this room right now is sitting at somebody's feet. You might say, I'm not sitting at your feet for sure. I'm not sitting at somebody's feet like I'm down on the ground and I'm worshiping somebody's feet. Well, that's not what we're talking about. But you're going to learn what it means to sit at somebody's feet. And I can guarantee that you are sitting at somebody's feet every day. Because somebody, that expression, sitting at someone's feet, it's something that the Apostle Paul did. He talks about he sat at the feet of somebody. Does anybody know whose feet he sat at when he was growing up? Ross? Gamaliel. You guys know Gamaliel? I don't think you've ever met him, but maybe you've heard of him. He's mentioned a few times in the Bible, and Paul said he sat at Gamaliel's feet growing up. That means he listened to what he said, and he followed what he did. And you guys are sitting at someone's feet right now because you're listening to what people are saying to you. You're following what people are saying to you. Somebody's guiding what you're going to wear. Somebody's guiding the words that are coming out of your mouth. And when you sit at the feet of some bad language of Pizza Hut like I did when I was 17, I sat at that feet for a while, and guess what words started coming out of my mouth? Not very good words. And when you start sitting at the feet of certain music stars and listening to them and listening to all their words, that's what you start to produce. And if you sit at the feet of lots of movies, those attitudes and desires and ways of thinking start to come out in our life. And so it gets really important whose feet we sit at. Who are we drinking in? And I'd like to turn to Luke chapter 10. We're going to talk today about sitting at the feet of Jesus. Because that's He's the one that we want to sit at. We want to listen to Him. We have a story about that here. Luke chapter 10 and verse 38. It says, "It came to pass as they went that He entered into a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha received Him into her house. She had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard His word." Now that makes it sound to me like this wasn't just a one-time thing. I believe that Jesus would often go to this house. These were His friends. And this, I think, was a normal occurrence. That He would come to this house and He would be with them for a while and He would sit down and just start talking, and Mary would maybe literally get down and just sit down at His feet and just listen. Listen, that's what her normal thing was to do. Well, she just sat there and listened to what Jesus had to say. Can you imagine what that would be like today? Just imagine the Lord Jesus walking through those doors and coming up here, and you having the privilege just to sit here and listen to His words. She had that privilege. She could do it right there in the flesh. But He has given us something that is so amazing. And if there's nothing else that you get from this morning, I want you to start, if you haven't already, to fall in love with Jesus and this book, the Bible. Because this book is what tells us about Him. And we need this book to live. And she sat at Jesus' feet and heard His word. Martha was cumbered about much serving, came to Him and said, "Lord, do You not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? Bid her therefore that she help me." Jesus answered and said unto her, "Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things, but one thing is needful, and Mary hath chosen that good part which shall not be taken away from her." The Lord knew that there were things to do. He knows you've got things to do in your life. He knows you've got to go to school. He knows you've got to go to work. He knows maybe you have to make some meals. He knows you've got chores to do. But He says one thing is needful. One thing every day is needful. Every day it's needful. It's necessary. It's important to sit at Jesus' feet. Now, sitting at Jesus' feet is different than just reading your Bible. You can pick up your Bible and you can start reading something and say, "Wow, that's interesting. Look, they killed that person and look who did what with who." And that may not be sitting at Jesus' feet though. Because when you sit at Jesus' feet, you're there ready and willing to learn about Him. First of all, you want to know Him better, and you're willing to do whatever He says. And she was willing and ready to do that. Abraham had the privilege of having the Lord appear to him as he was sitting one day. I just think that would be an amazing thing to have the Lord just come and appear to you as you're sitting one day. And we don't have that experience today. We don't have the physical body of the Lord coming right now. Someday we'll be with Him in heaven. But right now we can have the experience of having Him come to us through the Word. But in order to do that, we have to do something. Can anybody quote Psalm 46, verse 10, the first part of it? Keep going. "Be still and know that I am God." He says, "Be still and know that I am God." Another way that that is translated is, "Be silent unto God and let Him mold me." Be silent unto God and let Him mold me. That's what we have to do. We have to take that time and say, I'm going to be still. I'm going to be quiet. I'm going to shut off the phone. I'm going to get away from the computer. I'm going to get away from people. Even if I have to lock myself in a bathroom, I'm going to do this. I'm going to be still. And just know that He is God. And think about Him. Let's turn to Isaiah. Chapter 6. I was thinking about this subject of sitting. Thought of these verses. These are verses about the Lord sitting. You know, He sits too. Isaiah chapter 6, verse 1. This is the prophet Isaiah. And he is talking here, in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up, and His train filled the temple. So Isaiah has this vision. He sees the Lord sitting on a throne. He says He's high and lifted up, and He has a train. Can you imagine a train of a king? I mean, one picture I have is like his garment, maybe. You know, you have the train like of a bride's garment, kind of trained down. Or maybe it'd be a train of people. I'm not sure which, but it says whatever it was, His train filled the temple. He's got this magnificent thing that's filling this temple. Above it stood the seraphims. These would be like angels. Each one had six wings. With two He covered His face, with two He covered His feet, and with two He did fly. And one cried unto another and said, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of His glory. And the posts of the door moved at the voice of Him that cried, and the house was filled with smoke. Can you see this vision of the Lord sitting there on a throne? And it's just incredible. And there's smoke. And there's angels there. And they're saying, holy, holy, holy. I think that's the attitude that we can come as we come into His presence. We get up in the morning. We say, I'm going to come into the presence of the Lord Jesus right now. And we see Him sitting up there in that throne. And it should fill us with awe and amazement. Yes, He is the one who loves us and cares for us. He is our friend. But He is Almighty God. And you and I have the incredible privilege of being able to sit at His feet. We can sit and learn from Him. And yet, I confess, sometimes I'd rather go sit at the feet of garbage. When I have the privilege of sitting at the feet of the Almighty God who created all things, and then I say, I'm going to go sit at the feet of garbage today. I'm going to let this filthy language and junk come into my heart. You see the difference? Get a hold of who He is. He's the one who made you. He's the one that lets you breathe in and out every day. And He wants you to sit at His feet. Because He has a special message for you and me every day. Every single day. We need to, as we get up in the morning and we think about who He is. A friend of mine shared this with me, that he gets his time every day that he's going to spend with the Lord. And then he says a prayer. And I think it's a good thing to start that time with the Lord and saying a prayer. And it can be simple as, Lord, teach me today. But my friend used something called IOUS. And I is incline my heart to your testimonies and not to selfish gain. That's Psalm 119:36. Oh, is open my eyes that I may behold wondrous things out of your law. Psalm 119:18. You is unite my heart to fear your name. Psalm 86:11. And S is satisfy us in the morning with your steadfast love. Psalm 90, verse 14. Ask God to give you a desire to know His Word, to love the truth that you read, to open your eyes to understand the Word, to discover the practical application of that truth to your life, to resist competing heart desires, to fear God with your whole heart, be satisfied with the steadfast love of God instead of pursuing the temporary, unsatisfying things of this world. Incline my heart, open my eyes, unite my heart, satisfy us in the morning. And we can say that to the Lord, and then we open up the Scriptures, and we start to read, and we say, Lord, show me Jesus today. This isn't about just trying to learn facts. This is about learning the person who made you, getting to know Him. Let's go to Psalm 63. Verse 1, this is David speaking. He says, O God, Thou art my God. Early will I seek Thee. My soul thirsts for Thee. My flesh longs for Thee in a dry and thirsty land where no water is. Now, I just read this on Sunday in a class here with some people who speak Spanish. And we're reading it out of their Spanish Bible. And I said, what is that word early in Spanish? And I don't remember the word right now, but he said what it means is like between, 4 and 5 a.m., like dawn, right when the light is just coming up. I said, really? That's quite a challenge here that David's throwing out. He says, early will I seek you. Early. He wanted the first thing of the day, as soon as he got up, was to seek the Lord. He was so thirsty to get to know the Lord that he was ready to get up in the morning and seek Him. Verse 6, when I remember Thee upon my bed and meditate on Thee in the night watches. Everybody have a great sleep last night? Perfect, just out for the night. Some of you did, some of you didn't. You know, I don't sleep a whole night anymore. I often wake up through the night. But this has been a precious verse. When you wake up at night, or if you can't get to sleep especially, if you can't get to sleep, have your Bible right by your bed. Or have a verse that you've written out right on top of your clock or something. And just pick it up quick and look at it and think about that verse. Meditate on it. Think about it. Think about every word. One way to meditate is, first of all, it's not talking about, doing some strange thing. Meditate means just thinking over and over about what something means. And when you can meditate, you read a verse and you emphasize each word. You can say, like verse 6, you could say, when I remember Thee upon my bed, meditate on Thee in the night watches. And you probably have a different translation, but it says, when I, and you think about that, when I remember, you think about each word. And what does that mean? What is He trying to say? How can I apply that to me? That's how you meditate. And every day when you read your Bible, if it helps you, you can write down a verse that you thought, wow, that was a really neat verse. Write it down, stick it in your pocket. During the day, pick it out of your pocket, look at it, meditate on it. And here it's talking about early in the morning and at night, reading the Word. I had a great, great privilege of getting to know some Christian guys in college. My first year of college, I didn't hardly know any Christians. I was with a non-Christian roommate. And then I met some Christian guys, and then I lived with them the next 3 years. Six of us in an apartment together. And one of them, his name is Todd. He had this thing that he would say every day. And we would, we learned to respect him. He said, I'm going to go have my Jesus time now. And when he said he was going to go have his Jesus time, that means no calls, nobody come in, leave Todd alone. He was having his Jesus time. He didn't say, I'm going to go read my Bible, or I'm going to go have my quiet time. He said, I'm going to go have my Jesus time. That meant Todd was going to spend some time with Jesus. And it was very amazing. After almost 20 years, we're still really good friends. He came out and visited me this summer with his wife and two boys. And one morning I asked his 10-year-old son, Zach, I said, hey, Zach, where's Todd? He said, oh, he's having his Jesus time. Don't bother him. And he said, I just got done with my Jesus time, so, you know, we can play now. I was like, wow. First of all, here's a 10-year-old kid who's having a Jesus time every day. And he knows not to bother his dad during his Jesus time. And what an example. I just challenge my heart, especially, but I want to challenge you to have a Jesus time. Make that time. You got to make it. I put down some more verses on this outline about the incredible result that happens from sitting at the feet of Jesus. It talks in 2 Timothy 3 about knowing the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation. You can know the Lord Jesus as your Savior if you sit at the feet of Jesus. And you can be saved from the power of sin in your life too. But the other thing in Matthew, it says, take my yoke upon you and learn from me, or learn of me, and you will find rest for your souls. It's a wonderful thing to have rest in your soul from learning from Him. There's a few tools that I've used that I just encourage you to use. And one of them, and I think we're going to maybe in a couple of days get a few of these to hand out, the Daily Bible Reader. This or something like this that has, you can read a chapter every day and fill in the missing phrase. And that is a very helpful thing. Another helpful thing is, you've probably seen a one-year Bible before. I just started that last week. Thought I better get a jump on it, because sometimes things do come in but I'm trying to go through this, and it's just great the way you can lays it out, and you read some of Genesis and some of Matthew all in one day and then go on. But that is very helpful. I like to use, if I have a question about something, I need to look up, what does that mean? I like to use a commentary. And here's one that is not very expensive. You can get it on Amazon. William MacDonald's, the commentary, the whole Bible. And there's some online resources too that you can look at that can help you look up some things. I'm not going to read these poems, but on the back side, I was just really struck by what some people have written about the Bible and how precious it is to them. The one on the right, it is the traveler's map, the pilgrim's staff, the pilot's compass, the soldier's sword, and so forth. So I'd like to encourage you to read those. But the other part of sitting, besides sitting at the feet of Jesus, is sitting or resting in who you are in Christ. And that is such an important thing. On the next page, somebody sent this to me. I just really thought it was good how they laid this out. If you are a believer, if you have trusted in Christ as your Savior, this is who you are. You can say this. I am God's child. I am Christ's friend. I'm united with the Lord. I'm bought with a price. I am a saint set apart for God. I'm a personal witness of Christ. I'm the salt and light of the earth. I am a member of the body of Christ. I am free forever from condemnation. I am a citizen of heaven. I am significant. I am free from any charge against me. I'm a minister of reconciliation for God. I have access to God through the Holy Spirit. I am seated with Christ in the heavenly realms. We have about sitting. I cannot be separated from the love of God. I am established, anointed, sealed by God. I am assured all things work together for good. I think that's Ben Prigge's verse. I have been chosen and appointed to bear fruit. I may approach God with freedom and confidence. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I am the branch of the true vine, a channel of His life. I am God's temple. I am complete in Christ. I am hidden with Christ in God. I have been justified. I am God's co-worker. I am God's workmanship. I am confident that the good works God has begun in me will be perfected. I have been redeemed and forgiven. I have been adopted as God's child. I belong to God. Do you know who you are? So next time somebody says, who are you? Or tell me about yourself. You can just rattle this off. Say, this is who I am. This is what God has done for me, for you. And that is amazing. The next time you say, I wonder if I'm really saved. I think, you know, when I was 5 years old or whatever, I remember I asked Jesus to save me, but I don't really feel saved today. Read this. This is who you are. This doesn't change. When you fall into temptation and you say you're sorry and you feel guilty, and then you try harder, then you fall into temptation. This is who you are. It doesn't change. And a lot of this stuff would take you years to figure out and understand what it means. Because it's wonderful, amazing stuff. But a lot of it is so simple. You are God's child. You belong to Him. So it's a wonderful thing. You can rest in that. And as we learn of Him, we can rest in Him. Well, we're going to stop. So let's thank the Lord. Our Father, we thank You today for the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank You that we have the privilege to sit at His feet, to learn more and more about Him, so that we can be like Him. And we thank You that we can rest in what You have done for us. We give You glory and praise for that. And We thank you for each young person that is here. We pray that they would follow you with their life, that they would make that time every day to be with you and sit at your feet. So we commit this day to your hands. In Jesus' name, amen.